Well, I don't want to give anything away, but I love this list of books. I approve. I endorse this list of books. It's amazing. I was looking at it and I thought, everything on this is a winner.
It's kind of a weird list in a lot of ways.
Very, very cool. every week on this show, we look at put a spotlight on one great independent bookstore in our region and have them come in and tell us some wonderful books that have come across their store shelves. And today, Jacqueline Callahan of the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York, joins us. And it's a delight to have her here for the first time of calendar year 2013, again, with such a beautiful list. And good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Very, very nice to have you here. So where would you like to begin?
Well, I'd like to begin at the beginning, which is, as readers, there's always something that really grabs us, that makes us readers for life. And for me, the form that really captured me when I was little was the short story. Mm. Like, I really fell in love with Edgar Allan Poe. I didn't really understand a lot of it, but it was so gripping.
Yeah.
And I think in the past year, we have had so many remarkable collections of short stories, like by Juno Diaz, by Alice Munro, by Charles Yu, by Adam Levin. And now there's this new collection that came out, and people have talked about it already on the show, which is this collection called The 10th of December by George Saunders. And this is my first time reading Saunders. And he's an incredible short story writer. He really, really is. And the thing that has kind of gripped me so much in these stories is that he is so good at transcribing thoughts and specifically mimicking like how fantasy and daydreams run through the heads of characters very like ourselves, you know? I think he's just fantastic at it. And he kind of wires you into the brain of his characters so effectively in a way that I haven't read in a long time. I think that some of Joyce Carol Oates' short stories really do that for me, and I consider her one of the greatest short story writers.
Yeah.
So I have just been enjoying this book so much.
You're absolutely right. A few booksellers have brought this book up, and what makes this segment different is since that time I've actually read the book.
Uh-huh.
So I get, and it's incredible. He's going to be on the show next month, and
cool.
I have to say, you know, one of the things that really you're absolutely right. There tends to be that. That stream of consciousness that you called it a daydream quality, which sometimes writers attempt, but if you're not on that same plane, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And what's so great about Saunders and his writing is once you get the feel for it, you're in.
It's true.
And you're there, and it's really and very, very funny.
Very, very funny. Very morally challenging. Very, you know, lots of different visions of America through these characters.
Yeah.
It's a really good book.
Good, good stuff. It's 10th yeah. of December by George Saunders, and it's a great read. It's published by Random House.
Yeah. So another of my first loves in reading was biography.
Yeah.
I guess when I was little, maybe memoir quite hadn't existed yet, but I loved biography. And one of the new memoirs, not biographies, that just came out is Sonia Sotomayor's My Beloved World. This is a very easy read. It isn't a biography. It's not an autobiography. It's her remembering especially her childhood. And she had a lot of challenges. Her father died when she was 9 of alcoholism. She was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes at age 7. At age 7, she started giving herself her own insulin injections because her mom couldn't do it and her dad's hands were too shaky. It's a description of her loving Puerto Rican family in the South Bronx that she grew up with, and especially her relationship with her grandmother, who she credits as being sort of the one force of unconditional love throughout her life, and her belief in how that can really transform a person, no matter what, you know, level of income, etc., that comes through, that one grows up with. She talks positively about affirmative action, but, you know, she was no slack. I mean,
right.
She graduated Phi Beta Kappa, summa cum laude, won the Pine Prize at Princeton. She's an amazing woman. This is not a book about anything that I think could be interpreted as you know, forming the basis of her judicial decisions, you know, so it's not that book. It's truly a memoir, and especially about her family and the role that it shaped her.
It is, you know, I picked this book up over the weekend, and I started to read it, and I was so taken by her voice and of how open she is and, yeah. and how interesting and what has formed her. And then, and I'm not very far into it, but then to see her yesterday.
Yeah.
On the platform,
yes.
swearing in the vice president, and just beaming, and you think, wow, that's quite a story.
It is quite a story. It's an amazing story. She worked really hard, yeah. you know? It's incredible.
And I also, and the other thing that struck me was when Charles Schumer introduced her of the incredible cheer that came up from the crowd.
Yeah, I get chills.
Really an amazing woman. The book is lovely. It's My Beloved World and Sonia Sotomayor.
So my next book speaks a little bit to, as we grow as readers or, you know, experience our lives as readers, we have authors we really like a lot. And we really like so many of their books and we look forward to their next book. And then their next book is just, it's a stinker. You
yes,
don't like
that,
it.
That happens.
And you know, you read it anyway, you give it a try. And so this next book is a little bit like that. It's by Nick Toches and it's called Me and the Devil and it came out in December and it's a fictional book. And if for some of the listeners who don't know anything about Nick Toches, he is a little Hunter S. Thompson-like important American writer who's written some incredible biographies, Dean Martin, Sonny Liston, Jerry Lee Lewis. He's a poet. He lives in New York City. And he has that sort of hard scrabble, hard drinking kind of M.O. And he's actually a great reader live. I've heard him read poetry. And this book is fiction. Although the main character is named Nick, it's about kind of down and out writer who is struggling with his alcoholism and is also kind of a vampire and maybe a serial killer. And I wanted to like it. I couldn't. I was talking to a customer who's a huge fan. And this is a book for fans because you want to read every book that Nick Toches read.
Sure.
But as he said, after reading this book, I had to just read The Devil and Sonny Liston to sort of cleanse my palate. You know, in The Devil and Sonny Liston and also in his book about Dean Martin, which is called Dino, Living High in the Dirty Business of Dreams, he's very good at kind of describing these icons of the American male at a certain period of time. And they're fantastic books for anyone who's interested in those guys in that time. So Me and the Devil, maybe you want to take a pass unless you're a true fan of Nick Toshi's.
For those of us who are completists with certain authors,
and
no offense, but you know, look, you sort of want to try it out yourself and see, let's see what the talk is here. And then you realize, I often feel that way with Martin Amis.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
Martin Amis, I love.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while.
Exactly.
But I have to give you credit because in the 13 years that we've been doing this segment,
uh-huh.
you're the first bookseller ever to come in and say, this one's all right. So I applaud you for that.
Thanks.
Nick Toches, it's Me and the Devil, and see what you think. It's published by Little Brown.
Another book that I liked a lot this from the fall that I just really read a couple essays from is a book called The Fourth Dimension of a Poem, and it's by M.H. Abrams, who is a professor of literature at Cornell, and he's turning 100 this year.
Well,
and he was the professor of Harold Bloom.
Wow.
Yeah, he taught Harold Bloom. And he writes critical theory and he writes about poetry.
Well, oddly enough, is also 100, right? Or close.
And every so often, I really love reading critical theory because it's so illuminating sometimes if it's written correctly. It makes you think about literature or poetry in this case in a different way and also life in a different way. And so Abrams is more of the school that a poem does have a core essential meaning that exists, that is, you know, lots of critical theorists, especially deconstructionists, would say, well, it's this window or this window or this window. And he says, no, there's a core meaning. And he goes through some Keats. He goes through a couple other poems, some Wordsworth. And it's just a fantastic book. It's kind of heavy duty. It's theory, but it's very, very good.
The Fourth Dimension of a Poem by M.H. Abrams. I love books like this. I always feel in reading Harold Bloom, who is not only one of my favorite writers, but also one of my favorite talk show guests, because after you're done talking to him, you feel like you've gone 8 rounds in
yeah.
a ring, and the mental gymnastics that you have to do is just stimulating.
Exactly.
It's really incredible. So
yeah.
That sounds great. It's M.H. Abrams, The Fourth Dimension of a Poem and Other Essays.
So the next book I wanted to talk about is actually a collection of poetry called Come on All You Ghosts by Matthew Zapruder. And as a bookseller at this time of year, one of the things that we do is returns. We return books that don't sell, and it can be heartbreaking because there's so many beautiful books and you don't want to return it, and sometimes you just don't. And it sits on the shelf and you hope someone will discover it.
I have to say
that this collection of poetry by Matthew Zapruder is one of them. He is a poet, editor, translator. This is his third collection of poetry put out by Copper Canyon Press, which is an excellent, excellent poetry publisher, and he lives out in San Francisco, and he's just a beautiful, beautiful poet. And he has, I would say, these are poems that can be enjoyed at face value. And I'm going to read a little bit of one.
Do.
So this is called Letter to a Lover. Today, I'm going to pick you up at the Beige Airport. My heart feels like a field of calves in the sun. My heart is wired directly to the power source of mediocre songs. I'm trying to catch a ray of sunlight in my mouth. I look forward to showing you my new furniture. I look forward to the telephone ringing. It is not you. You are in the kitchen trying to figure out the coffee maker. You are pouring out the contents of your backpack. I wonder if you now have golden fur. I wonder if your arsenal of kind remarks is empty. I remember when I met you, you were wearing a gray dress that was also blue, not unlike the water, plus the sky. They say it's difficult to put a leash on a hummingbird, so let us no longer be the actuary of each other. Let us bow no longer our heads to the tyranny of numbers. Hurry off the plane with your rhinestone-covered bag full of magazines that check up on the downfall of the stars. I will be waiting for you at the bottom of the moving stairs.
Wow.
I really love that poem.
Come All Ye Ghosts by Matthew Zapruder.
Come over to the store and buy it. It's waiting for you.
It doesn't want to go home. It wants to go home with you.
Another thing, I think often as a reader growing up, you might say, there is no way I would ever buy that book for anybody. It is just too silly. There is no way I would ever fall so low as to recommend Dan Pilkey and the Captain Underpants series, except it's amazing. And even though he doesn't write in proper English, even though his main characters are very subversive, which is wonderful for boy reading, it's just amazing. And so it's this Captain Underpants series is the kind of thing that you would look in your 20s, you say, oh my gosh, how horrifying. But then as a parent, and especially as a parent of young boys, it's a fabulous way to get boys to read. And the latest, Captain Underpants and the Revolting Revenge of the Radioactive Roboboxers, just came out.
These are very, I've actually read these. These are or one or two of them.
They're brilliant.
And they're very, very, they're very funny. And yeah, I guess subversive is the word, but just a little off. And
yeah.
They're very fun.
Yeah.
And they catch it quick.
Super Diaper Baby is also good, too.
Yes.
Do I have time for one more?
Yes, you do. Yes.
Okay,
indeed.
So next month is the 100th birthday of one of my favorite places in the world, Grand Central Station.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Should have known that.
And so there are some lovely coffee table-like books coming out. There's one that's published by Abrams called Grand Central Terminal, 100 Years of a New York Landmark. So if you cannot be in Grand Central every day, you can buy this book and have it in your house. And also, any excuse to talk about Myra Kalman, I gladly take. And one of my favorite books about New York City, and one of my favorite Myra Kalman books, is Next Stop Grand Central Station. And she says, in Grand Central, you cannot shilly-shally or dilly-dally. Everyone rushes and dashes and zips and zaps and whizzes like crazy. And oh, what a dizzy and delightful place. Do come visit. So long.
You know, the do come visit line. And every time I'm there,
yeah,
well, because you're always there for a reason, usually,
yeah.
You know, you're catching a train or whatever. And I just think to myself, someday, if I'm given a day,
yes,
I would love to come here early in the morning and
yes,
just stay here till late at night and just poke around.
Yeah.
Cause it's just fascinating. It has so many different parts to it and reasons for existing. It's so neat.
It's so amazing.
It's a really incredible
place.
It's
so beautiful.
And it's for being as cavernous, it's almost like a homey place.
I agree.
Yeah, it's
I agree.
Cozy in an odd way.
It really is.
Grand Central Terminal, 100 Years of a New York Landmark is the, this is a beautiful book.
It is.
Stuart DeBoer and Chang. Excellent. And then, of course, next stop, Grand Central. That is a children's book out in paperback. And
For years it's been out.
Yeah, beautiful. You can find out more information about all these cool books. See, didn't I tell you it was a great list? Golden Notebook in Woodstock, the great work they do, you can see for yourself. All you have to do is visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Check them out. Also, you can go online, goldennotebook.com. Jacqueline, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for making the cold trek this morning. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, goldennotebook.com for the complete list. We post each week's book picks on our website as well, wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.